It's 7:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Morneau with KRWG News. Yesterday, we learned about a new hotline to help primary care health providers answer questions regarding adolescent patients they have with behavioral health issues. Today, we feature more from Dr. Sarah Martin with Texas Tech's Health Sciences Center in El Paso, who talked with me about how mental health in young people may be impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. So how are youth in our country and in our region coping with behavioral health challenges right now? What do we know from the research and data?
Well, the good news is that there's been a lot of research done on telemedicine that it is comparable to seeing a patient in person. It's different, but it is comparable in terms of outcomes. I was in the Army. That's where I did my residency. I did my residency at Walter Reed, and they, gosh, that was 15, 20 years ago, they were already doing telemedicine research, and it's always looked pretty similar in terms of how well the patients are doing. I think people prefer in person, both the doctors and the patients, but a lot of people are very busy, and so actually this change, because we've changed overnight to doing everything in person to doing everything online. And some patients prefer telephone visits. Some patients prefer video visits. The video ones are take a little more time to set up. But again, everyone's getting used to it. And because we knew that it was comparable, I think we feel okay. But it's been interesting, that's for sure.
Now, there's been a lot of reporting about how underfunded or prepared our healthcare infrastructure has been to face a pandemic like the one we're experiencing. What about mental health care? How do you see mental health care services being impacted by this pandemic across our country and specifically in our borderland region?
So, you know, it's interesting. I've been talking to doctors all over town, and psychiatrists are probably the busiest because psychiatry is the easiest thing to do over video or over the telephone. Usually when you have a big crisis like this, especially one that is longer lasting, in the beginning, people hold it together. When the crisis is actually going on, people hold it together, and they actually don't have as many problems as they might even on a regular day. But then as the crisis goes longer, and then once the immediate danger is over, a lot of times that's when symptoms come up. So a good analogy is, a soldier at war. The soldiers at war, they don't see the psychiatrist very much. They do all these, they have to go through all these horrific things every day. You're deployed. Even if nothing happens, your whole deployment, you're sitting there for, you know, a whole year, and every day you're like, well, could die today. So it's a very long-term stressor. But they generally don't seek help because they don't need to seek help when they're on their deployment. It's when they get back, and sometimes it's months or even years later, that's when we see a big increase in the amount of mental health problems. So, and that is, they've done research on other big disasters like shootings and 9/11 and things like that. And usually the mental health crisis is a little delayed. People hold it together during a time of crisis, and then when they feel comfortable enough to relax, that's when they start to actually have psychiatric symptoms. Although, you know, every person is different. Some people don't do well in a crisis at all, and so they may need a little extra help during this crisis.
The city of El Paso, the borderland region, has endured a lot over the past year. You've had the mass shooting at the Walmart in El Paso, and now the COVID-19 pandemic. What are some concerns regarding the mental health of children and adolescents that are growing up during this time?
You know, I am concerned because, you know, most generations of children are not going to be exposed to this level of fear. And first of all, the two events are very close together. And then the second one, the COVID-19, is just lasting so long. So I am concerned because it does change the hormones, and hormones change brain. And so we don't really know what the effects will be necessarily. We can compare it to other tragedies, but I am kind of concerned about children in this region because the two events were close together and the length of this one. The other thing that we really don't know about is, okay, we have lots of other disasters to compare in terms of doing research and trying to anticipate what's going to happen here, but we don't know what this social isolation does. There's never been any mass social isolation. And, you know, there's some families that they have a big enough family that they're really like, oh, my God, give me a minute, give me a second alone, you know, because they have so many people there in the house. But then there's other families that are much smaller, like my family. I have my father-in-law, my husband, and my daughter, and she's 15. And, oh, I think she, I don't know what the effect is going to be because she was a very social person. And depending where you are in your development, this kind of social isolation going on so long may well have an effect, but we really don't know what it's going to be.
That was Dr. Sarah Martin, who specializes in child and adolescent psychiatry and serves as the field's division chief with Texas Tech University's Health Sciences Center in El Paso. We talked about how this pandemic may be impacting young people.